So we inside another edition of Soca Therapy Sessions. This one is a special interview, man. Somebody I've known for a very long time. And I find a lot of people don't know the real Ricardo Drew.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to Soca Therapy Sessions.
Yes.
Some of the questions I'm going to ask you.
Uh-huh.
Don't say, well, Jay, you know that already. You know what I mean? It's just really for everybody to kind of get to know the real Drew, you know?
I got you.
So let's take it back to the beginning. How did you get into music?
Got into music. My mom was a radio personality. She used to work for a station across the Caribbean called Gem Radio.
Oh, okay.
And she used to take me to her, you know, her shifts every now and again. And I fell in love with music at that point. My uncle, he was into choir. He used to sing for the Naparima Boys Choir. And then my teacher, he was really big into music. His son is actually Mastermind, Sean Mastermind Noel. So I had those three people influencing me in terms of music. So, you know, based on my mom doing whatever it is that she was doing at the point she was doing, mm-hmm. being that personality, I just thought entertainment was so cool.
Okay.
And then I kind of just fell into it with my uncle. So
nice. So now you were born in Antigua?
Correct. Born in Antigua.
But then raised in Trinidad?
Yes. So shortly after I was born, my grandmother decided, hey, I'm going to take you to Trinidad because your mother is not ready to raise you yet.
Okay. Okay. So. But then there became, because I find when people hear about you, they're almost as like, well, where is he from? Is he Trini?
Right, is he Antiguan?
Is he American? Because you also, I guess, lived in Florida for a while, and there was that association with you as well, right? Because at that time, I think the group was called Crossover. Right.
Wow.
So take me back to Crossover. Now, this was like a Caribbean boy band,
right?
In a sense.
So Crossover, we tried to sell this group based on being from different islands.
Okay.
Now, at that point in time, you know, to kind of just veer off into the first question, because I was raised in Trinidad, that's all I knew at the time. I only knew Trinidad. I didn't know anything about Antigua other than the fact that I was born there. So, you know, growing up as a little boy, if you're not told or if you're not influenced by your family or the people around you that you're Antigua, you're going to be consumed, or, you know, you believe where you're at is where you're from.
Right.
So that's what happened with me. You know, I spent a lot of time in Trinidad growing up with friends and doing all kinds of stuff. So when I went to Florida now, I met some guys. I met a DJ by the name of Crown Prince and Nico Star. And I started working with them. And that led me to want to do music even more.
Mm-hmm.
So I created this group called Crossover, which I started with myself and a guy from Jamaica by the name of Chris. And we decided, okay, you know what? We want to expand a little bit more, so we'll get somebody else. We brought in my brother, J-Ra, and we brought in my brother, Cupid. And we were like, okay, how are we going to sell this? Well, okay, well, Four Sons of the Caribbean, you know, this one, that one, that one. So like, all right, so cool. What are you going to represent? Well, all I know is Trinidad.
Right.
So, and I had the Trinidad accent strong at that time. So it was like, yeah, I'll represent Trinidad. And the other guy, well, he had Guyanese and Antigua. So he was like, I'll represent Antigua. And the other guy was like, you know what? I'll represent Jamaica. And the other guy, I'll represent Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it was molded based on the label we were working with at the time and based on the direction that they wanted us to go. And that's just what it was.
Right.
You know, we created music. We tried, we knocked on every door. And I feel now like the music we were creating now, that is being created now, is the kind of music we were creating then.
Yeah.
Because everybody was like, this is not soca. What is this? Come on, man. You can't get on bad to this. You can't jump up in a fet. Now I see everybody jumping up to that same kind of music. And I'm like, maybe we're just
a little ahead of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. And it's funny. That's kind of how music is.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you do something and it doesn't resonate right away, but it doesn't mean it wasn't good.
Correct.
It's just the timing wasn't necessarily right. So how did you end up deciding, okay, that was enough for Crossover. Mm-hmm. This is time to go on your own two feet then?
Oh, well, this is a story and a half. We ended up doing a show called America's Got Talent. And
wait, like the TV show?
Yeah, like the TV show.
Well, okay, I don't know this story. All right, let me do this one.
So what happened was we were working with a guy by the name of Brad from Caribbean Entertainment.
Okay.
And he gave us the opportunity to do America's Got Talent. But when we went into the application and everything like that, they gave us a couple of songs. Now, Brad was adamant that we should do Sean Kingston. He's like, yeah, do Beautiful Girl. And you know, that's what's in right now. But we were like, no, forget that. We're a group, Boyz II Men. Mm-hmm. We're going to do Motown Philly and we're going to turn it into our own little thing. And Brad was like, I think you should do Sean Kingston, man. And we went in there. We got through the first round. They were super impressed. Mm-hmm. Second round, super impressed. And then we sat down and waited 2 weeks for a call. And I think like the day of, like the last day, they called and they said, you know what? We want you all to come for the final round, which was a televised round.
Okay.
And so they said, you know what? We'll do this. We'll do that. You know, y'all pick your song. So we picked the Motown Philly. And we arranged it, everything. Now, two of the guys in the group cannot sing. So the singers were myself and Chris.
Okay.
And the rappers were J-Ra and Cupid. So we went in there, Jay, and they said, yeah, what kind of mics you want to use? We were like, we want to dance, so give us headset mics, right? So we go in there and they ask us whatever. So we tell them the spiel, Four Sons of the Caribbean, who inspired us, Bob Marley, 50 Cent, this one, that one. Marshall Montano, all kinds of stuff, right? So they say, all right, cool, let's see what you have. So we start, bam, music start, the crowd's going wild. Everybody's clapping because we're telling them to clap. We start to sing, and I blank out, right? So at that time when I performed a lot, I used to go blank. Like I used to just kind of get consumed in the performance and just blank out.
Okay.
But for some reason, I caught myself and saw this guy get up, and he looked around the crowd and he was like, just turned his thumbs down. He's like, yeah, thumbs down, right? And it's like...
one of the judges or the crowd?
One of the people in the crowd.
Oh.
So when he did it, it's like he influenced other people to do it. And then it went from thumbs down to like the whole stadium booing. And then when I looked to the table, there were already two X's. And David Hasselhoff, he looked around and he was like, should I give them the X? So his hand is up. He's like, should I give them the X? And everybody's like, yeah! And then he drops the X, boom. Boy, when we come back now, here, one of the Osbournes, the wife of the Osbournes, she was like,
Marie?
Yeah, she was like, what happened? And then there was this English guy, he's like, man, if Bob Marley was one of your inspirations, he's probably turning in his grave.
Wow.
And then David Hasselhoff was like, yeah, man, if 50 Cent was one of your inspirations, you need to give him back change and all kind of stuff. So I'm sitting there and I'm usually the spokesperson for the group, but I'm sitting there and I'm so quiet. They're asking what happened, what went wrong. But apparently my mic and Chris's mic were off. So Josh's mic and J-Ra's, Cupid's mic were on, and those are not the singers.
Oh.
So when we went outside, Nick Cannon was like, yo, what happened? I'm lost for words.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm processing this. So when I get outside now, I say, I look at the guys, I say, guys, listen, that's going to go on TV. And that's not who we are. And that's not what we represent. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump on a plane as soon as I can, whether it be tomorrow or next week. And I'm going to go to Barbados and I'm going to work with, because around that time, Crop Over was coming.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm going to work with some of the best producers I could work with. And release some good music. So at least by the time the video comes out, they'll be like, well, something not right. It don't add up.
Oh, right.
You know, and I looked at them. I said, you guys going? And three of them looked at me and said, nah, bro. And
they just felt defeated?
Defeated. And I picked up the phone shortly after and I said, Patrice, listen, I need you to hook me up with some of the people that you work with in Barbados. And she made a call and 2 days later I was in Barbados working with Dwayne.
Wait, is that how Not Leaving?
That's how Not Leaving and Pelted Back came about.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so for those, I mean, you could go search it on YouTube. Not Leaving is the combination with you and Patrice. And then, yeah, Pelted Back. I have a good play to that one.
Yeah.
So really, so those fellas just got defeated after?
Defeated,
I mean,
completely.
It's an embarrassing moment.
It was. I remember sitting on a barbershop once and a guy came in and America's Got Talent was playing. And he's like... He looking at my face, he's like, you look familiar. Like me, he's like, I saw you on on a TV show or something. It's like, me, nah.
But, you know, it's one of those things where this is a life lesson. Yeah. You could take something like that and build the resilience. Yeah. Or you could just accept the defeat and say, this isn't for me, and go in a different direction. And three of them said, I go in that way. And you actually stood up to that and said, nah,
I'm no going to combat that. I had no choice at that time. You know, it was either give up and don't know what to do with my life or to continue. Because I had invested so much in this that I couldn't turn back at that time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So there was that fork in the road for the band, and they decided, I'm going to go left, and you took that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. So judging from social media, I mean, I find lately you have now started to do the, you know, it's a Drew story and show a different side of you.
Right.
But prior to that, I find the impression that people have of you is you're very low-key.
Right.
Right? A lot of people don't realize that you don't pick basketball teams well. You know what I mean? A lot of people wouldn't know that. A lot of people don't know that side of you.
I picked the Raptors this year, though.
So what would you say is one of the most outrageous rumors you may have heard about yourself?
Oh, man. There's a couple. a couple that I may not be able to say on radio.
Nah, you can say it.
What? There was
one. Because this is a podcast. It's not, you know, you can say whatever you want.
There was one where somebody had, they said they had proof that I was gay. And that the person's sister saw me with the individual. Mm-hmm. And they're going to prove it. And I was like, me?
Right.
Moi? Like, what?
Right.
What else? There's a couple rumors with me. Well, I mean, I have 5 children, so I don't really think it's outlandish anymore for somebody to say something like that. But there were a couple rumors where people were like, oh, I had an artist in Antigua pregnant.
Okay.
Claudette.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everybody believed that Claudette's son was my son at one point in time. What else? Oh, and the biggest one of all is that I was living this big double life. Like, you know, I had this wife and I'm married and all these other things. I'm really not.
Okay.
You know, so, but I guess that comes with being a red man, you know?
Very true. But what was odd is, I mean, and I've had this discussion with you where I said, if there's somebody I want to keep one of my secrets, it would be you, because I want to address this real quick, right? And this wasn't a rumor. It was just, you know, it was your daughter's birthday, and then there was a picture, and then people was like, hold on, I saw the same picture posted somewhere else.
Yeah.
So was it something where you went into this saying, okay, I want to keep this more like low-key and a secret because you don't want your daughter exposed?
Right.
Like, how did that play out?
So Patrice and I had a conversation, which I'm going to put her on blast, right? She completely reneged on it.
Okay.
But we had a conversation that we were not going to expose Liara until a certain point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I scrolling through social media and see Liara all over Patrice's page.
Right.
She couldn't wait.
Okay.
So I was like, you know, I'm still going to wait because my grandmother has this big thing about putting babies on social media.
Yeah. And, elders in our community are like,
somebody going to do something to your child.
Yes,
and,
don't, yeah.
You know? So I said, you know what, grandma, I will wait. I'll wait till a certain age. And that was it. I released it. And when I released it, it was, I found that with the release of Liara, or the acknowledgement that Liara was my daughter, I found that a lot of people went into their own assumptions as to why it took so long for me to acknowledge it. I finally being a father to Liara and this and a finally
like you weren't there all
exactly.
the time.
And you know, that's their opinion. I didn't expect that big of a negative backlash. I expected to people to be, oh, okay, cool, and move on. But woo, the kind of things I saw. I mean, I'm not that type of person to go online and respond to people and stuff like that. But I had to attack some people at one point. And then I had to go back and delete it.
Because I mean, when people are attacking you, and you're a proud father,
yeah,
right? And there are certain things where, when it comes to your children, At the end of the day, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I feel like when people are online and they feel they're anonymous and they you know?
Yeah.
Some people say some stuff. And I'm just like, really? Yep. Like, would you tell me that to my face, really?
Exactly.
Like, even if I was an absentee father, which you're not,
yeah,
would you say that, though?
Exactly.
You wouldn't. You exactly. know what I mean? So
they hide behind the web pages.
That's fine. For sure. Okay, so let's say you didn't, or you went the direction of the other members of Crossover,
mm-hmm.
and you weren't in music right now.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from being a great father with questionable basketball taste, you know, what would you be doing right now?
I can't tell you. I've always been big into law, and I was studying law before I stopped and decided to do music full time.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel maybe I would have continued down that road. But to be honest with you, I don't really think that I would have stopped.
Okay.
I don't even think it would have been an option at all. I was always told that, and this might work for some people, so I'm not giving you this advice. I'm just telling you what was told to me. Anytime you have a plan A and you put yourself in a position to develop a plan B, that means you don't believe in your plan A.
Mm.
And once you have a plan B, you will always fall back on plan B. So it's A or nothing. So that's how I lived my life where my career was concerned. It was A or nothing.
Yeah, go all in. All right, let's go away from the personal topics to more about the business.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it this way. There's, in Barbados, there is a bashment soca sound.
Mm-hmm.
In Grenada, there's Jab Jab.
Right.
In St. Lucia, Denery is mm-hmm. very popular. In Antigua, it seems like there was Flames back in the 90s, you know, 80s, 90s, whatever. And now there are artists and DJs that people love from Antigua. But
what is
that sound? I'm curious for you now as the artist who is one of the many who was on the forefront from Antigua. You've put it on your back. You've done Drew's Day.
Right.
You know, thank you for inviting me there. I saw first time I was in Antigua and I got to experience a torrential downpour. You know what I mean? There's nothing like a Caribbean torrential downpour, but it was fun.
Yes.
You know, people still came out and that Antiguan energy, like there was indie rain, they in business, nobody was running for shelter. It was vibes. But what is that sound?
There's two sounds, I would say, that Antigua is supposed to be known for.
Okay.
And, you know, I guess given the fact that it was so long ago, maybe throughout generations, it's kind of phased out. Mm-hmm. But the first song would be Benna. Now, Benna is a mixture of rhythm and like an old calypso kind of, you know, the Swallows and the Obstinance and the Short Shirts, the kind of music that they created. Like, we have a rhythm out right now called the Liberta rhythm, which kind of mimics that Benna sound. And then, of course, there was the rhythm, the Devil rhythm, which would have been the Flames era. And those are the two sounds that have been identified out of Antigua. Now, lately, I would say myself and Claudette and Tian and whoever else, Menace and whoever else is coming out of Antigua, we have been experimenting in our own little areas to see how we can now create a sound. And this year I decided to go back to the Flames rhythm and try and you know, tweak it and modernize it a little bit and see how that works for me. But to say what is the sound now, I don't think that anybody really knows. Or then there are a lot of people outside of Antigua that don't really identify a sound to Antigua right now. But the sounds are that Iron Rhythm, the Devil Rhythm, and the Benna.
Okay. Because I'm seeing there's going to be a lot of attention on Antigua.
Yeah.
And I find from Crown Prince to Rhythm Master, Quicks, like there's so many DJs and Jime that are starting to get international attention on them as well.
Right.
So I guess what I would like to know is next for Antigua, because I remember it might have been, how long ago was the Road March Kentucky? Like
that was 2011.
Okay. So
I'll never forget that year. That was the year Kentucky beat me bad, boy.
Yeah. And the thing is, I remember when that came out and you had, you know, in our fets, you have some people who are just diehards.
Yeah.
So they're like, gee, you have to play Kentucky. Where's Kentucky? And I'm asking Antiguan DJs, and they're like, no, I'm not. That can't leave. That's not leaving Antigua.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, no, but I have people asking, and I'm trying to source out the song, and nobody knows where it is. And so to me, there seems like there's something that's in the grung.
Right.
And then there's artists like you, as you mentioned, TN. I find Claudette doesn't get that respect outside that maybe you and TN do. And Menace, he had a Unruly did well as well.
Yeah.
So where do you see, when that spotlight comes on Antigua, what is next? What do you see as coming up for Antigua?
Well, I believe that the younger generation, that goes from myself, TN, going now to Generation Z, we're playing with that. We're going back to that rhythm.
Okay,
you know, the hard iron devil rhythm kind of sound, and I think that's what we need to focus on. Kind of just refining that. Some of us are more focused on an international sound, and that's fine. You know, that's fine. But I guess at this point, we need to find something that, like you said, separates us from a Trinidad or separates us from a St. Lucia, like our St. Lucia has Denry. And I feel that since that sound is already there and it's something that's in the roots, we should just take it. If the soil not good there, just take it somewhere else and plant it.
Right.
You know, and that's what I'm doing. I can't speak for anybody else. But okay. So when that time comes and when the light is shined upon, that's what I'm going to showcase.
Nice. And I know, speaking of showcase, you have always showcased the power of the DJ.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like many of your songs end up getting so much more light based on a DJ's road mix.
Right.
And then you end up performing that.
Right.
And it even creates more spotlight.
Right.
And now you're actually working with DJs on the production side.
Correct.
Of it, right? So was that... How did that come about with the Crown Prince road mixes with Vagabond Professional? Like, how did this, was it something that you actually went out and?
Nope. I could honestly tell you, I hated the Vagabond edit that Prince did.
Really?
I hated it. Because, you know, I'm like, Prince sent it back. I was like, it's cool. Then 2 days later, I hear it on the road. Clap, 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 Vagabond, clap, clap. I'm like, what the hell is this, man? You know what? Thanks, Prince, but still. Then Miami Carnival came around and everybody was playing it. I was like, you know, I kind of like
it. Have a vibe now.
You know, and then it became that. And then when Professional came out, I was like, you know what, Sham, we need to send this to Prince one time. And I realized that sometimes I get real technical in my music, and so much so that I arrange it in a manner that I might like. You know, and I arrange it in a manner what I think the people might enjoy. But then a Dr. J or a Crown Prince or a Back to Basics or somebody, they will sit down and be like, I can't juggle this because of it. It don't start at this point. And you know, it don't start at that point. So I started to appreciate the DJ edits more. So like if I was to record a song that I want to push, I'd immediately send it to Prince before I even release it. Hey, Prince, you know, what do you think about this? How you think we should edit it? You know, you want to do this edit? Rhythm Master, whatever the case may be. And started to release my music like that. Because at the end of the day, I'm giving the music to you to play.
Right.
And if you can't play, then I shoot myself in the foot.
Right.
You know, and that's basically what it was.
Yeah, man. I find you've always been open to suggestions and different ideas and thinking outside the box.
Sometimes
you know?
Too open. Like the other day, I was so confused, right? I had a song I was releasing and I sent it to about 3 people and each person had a different opinion and I was so lost.
Oh.
I was so, so lost. So I realized over the last couple of weeks that I need to pull back on that a little bit. If I believe in some, like for example, Khaled releasing 4 or 5 videos today, 1 tomorrow, 2 the next day, but he believes in it and he believes in it so much that people feel that and believe in it because he believes in it.
Right.
So sometimes as artists, especially we as soca artists, we need to believe in the product more. We don't.
Yeah.
We doubt it a lot.
Yeah, I agree. So when it comes to soca music, this is something that we believe in, as you say. We love. I've been granted the opportunity to travel all over the world, as have you.
Right.
Where do you see soca going and what do you see holding it back? because right now it's not a recognized genre,
right?
You know, on different streaming platforms. So why isn't soca on that level?
I believe soca is not on that level because we're fighting each other too much. We fight each other way too much. You know, you go to Trinidad, and while Trinidad is in Mecca of soca, it's the point where there's the most competition. You know, from December to March or February, that's when men not talking. Don't talk to me, dog. I want to hear you right now. Oh, you have a big tune, forget you.
Right.
Oh, no forward for you, you see. Those kind of things, you know. Sorry, I don't mean to talk like Marsh.
I didn't want to point it out, you know. I didn't want to say that.
But that's how it goes. So, you know, I find that if we were to ease off the competition, yeah, we could do Soca Monarch, and yeah, we could do these things. But if we would ease off of the competition, for example, you know, if Teddy's vent is doing great, all right, give Teddy support. Let's have some men that will stand up in the corner and watch Teddy and hope Teddy fall.
Wow.
You understand? Yeah. And it's always been like that. And I was explaining this to somebody today. There's going to be a little bit of competition across the board because soca is not in one place like reggae and dancehall is. Reggae and dancehall is Jamaica. That's it. Right? Soca will be Barbados, St. Lucia, Antigua, Trinidad. So there's going to be some kind of competition. I understand that. But at some point, we need to understand that soca is soca, and then we have different forms of soca. So we might have Booyah music, and we might have Benna music, and Denry. And we understand that those are segments, but they all fall under soca music, and we need to stop fighting each other. If we continue to fight, we're going to be fighting, and then the next man going to come and just pull it out, dust it off, and bust it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're going to be like, yo, oh, that's our thing.
Right.
That's how facts. I feel about it.
Yeah. Did you hear this new song with, I think it's Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber?
Not yet.
Some people, I mean, it's similar to Sorry by Justin Bieber, where mm-hmm. people are saying it has some of the elements. It's sounding soca-ish or yeah. maybe more Afrobeats, whatever, but it has that vibe.
Right.
And I could see exactly what you're saying, where somebody who loves the music, because we're seeing now so many American yep. mainstream acts are experiencing the culture.
Coming down and experiencing the culture. Maya, Ashanti, Cast Some Love on Hip Hop. What's his name? Benzino. Benzino was down there for a while. I mean, there's so many people coming down, and there are people that come down and you don't even know they're there and they're just watching.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Brown has dabbled in it a little bit. Drake has dabbled in it a little bit. Bieber has dabbled in it a little bit. And if we would spend the time trying to push it collectively as we spend fighting with each other, we'd be a lot further.
Yeah. That's a big one day. Very big one. So I want to do a little this or that with mm-hmm. you, right? Where you just pick two things and you choose one, right?
All right.
So iOS or Android?
Android.
Really?
You asked me.
All right. No, sorry. All right. I forgive you. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
All right. Card game or board game?
Both.
Yeah. Or are you into games like that? Like, are you games night? Yeah.
Yeah, I do games nights and stuff like that.
So what's your favorite?
Actually, to be honest with you, I like a lot of drinking games. So okay. We have a game in Antigua we call Tap Tap. I like that. And
wait. I saw that on your thing. You had to describe how that works.
Tap Tap is a table game, basically. You sit around the table and you tap. So you tap and next person taps and you go in the direction, right?
Okay.
If I double tap, it goes anti-clockwise, right? So sometimes you tap and then somebody double tap and the person in that direction taps. But I'm talking like they could see me. but the person in the clockwise direction taps, but it's supposed to go anti-clockwise.
Okay.
Once you tap out of turn, you have to take a shot.
Okay.
Now, if you take a shot and you turn your shot glass over and it drips, you have to take another shot. If you take your hand off the table, you have to take a shot. If you need to go to the bathroom, you take two shots. If you want to come out of the game, you take four shots.
What?
So by the time it's all about coordination. So by the time you take about six shots, you know, you don't know what to do. And then there's another game that I like called King's Cup.
Okay.
I enjoy King's Cup, you know, where you play some cards. Each card has a rule.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, if you don't follow that rule or... No, I'm sorry. Each card has a rule. You know, like maybe five will be jive. You do a dance or something like that.
Okay,
Two is you. That means you have to drink. The person that you point to has to drink. Three is me. That means you have to drink. Four is, I can't say what four is. Okay. 10 is men. Let's put it that way, right?
Okay.
All the guys got to drink. And then when you reach the king, you know, the person that pulls the king has to pour some of the alcohol in their cup. Now, everybody has a different type of alcohol. So some might have brandy,
so you mix in.
Right?
Okay.
And the person to pull the last king has to drink the whole cup.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Some of my dancers have spent nights hugging the toilet.
Cook or eat out?
Eat out.
Yeah. So you're not a chef, really?
I mean, I am, right? But because of my lifestyle so far, I've gotten so accustomed to eating out.
Like,
I'll cook when I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah. Because to be honest, you look like a corned beef and rice kind of thing. I don't know if you can really cook, you know? I don't know.
Why? Jesus fix the meal?
I don't know. You know, a spaghetti and you get a little meat sauce and thing. You don't look like, you know?
Scrambled eggs and waffles.
TV show or movies?
Movies.
Okay, do you have a favorite movie of all time?
My favorite movie of all time. You know, it's going to be a real weird movie, but I was a real big fan of Zoolander.
Really?
What? I don't know why.
Now the Android thing makes sense.
And apart from Zoolander, I was a big Gladiator fan too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Gladiator was one of my movies.
You ever watch that show Spartacus?
No.
If you like Gladiator, that was a good show to watch. Okay, yeah, Spartacus was good. All right, so this is one that I was ending a lot of the this or that with. Mm. And it doesn't mean that you don't like one over the other. Just trying to see which one resonated with you more. Mm. And that's Family or Savannah Grass.
Family or Savannah Grass, boy. I think I'm on the fence with both. Is it you have to answer kind of thing, or can I explain why I'm on the fence?
Okay, you could explain.
Because I feel like both songs touched a different part of you.
Okay.
You understand? You know, Savannah Grass had a, for me, Savannah Grass had a meaning deeper than just the song. Like I appreciated it because of the message and because the message that he was trying to give the world through
his father. Right.
Family, I feel, was just more of a typical, you know, message that we sent in soca, but it was just sold the right way in a slightly different way. Booyah, kind of, you know, le. Mm-hmm. So it had that African kind of that energy. So I appreciated them both in a different way.
Okay, and we know that caused a lot of bacchanal with the whole road march in Trinidad.
Right.
In Antigua, do they have those kind of issues in the sense of...
I don't think that would have ever happened in Antigua, to be honest with you. Like, boss, sometimes they fight me for road march.
Right.
And I'm Antigua, you know? Oh, we're not giving that Trinidad road march! They don't do it anymore, right. But... when I first went there, I had a song called Superman that was at the top, and they said, we're not doing it.
Not for you.
Not for you.
Wow. See, and a lot of people don't see that side of it. They feel like, you know what? Drew is getting to have his cake and eat it too. You get to, you know what I mean? You do your thing in Trinidad. At a certain point, you were singing frontline with a band that's heavily requested. And then you go back to Antigua and you're a king of Antigua.
Right.
You know, so how did you maintain that? But a lot of people don't see that. You get the fight.
Right. I get plenty fight too. And you see, that aspect of it, you know, you made a mention earlier that people have me as being low-key. And I am low-key. I'm low-key because I don't... when I had Superman, right, there was an energy and there was an aura about me that people used to say came across as arrogant. Like they say, I'd walk into a room and I'd be like, hey, my shoe's better than yours.
Oh, okay.
And... after that, I left the All-Stars because I thought Superman was going to be the biggest thing in the world. I was like, yeah, I'm out. I'm winning. I'm going to take over the world with this song. Bungie just saw me mash up Antigua. So Bungie's going to go back to Trinidad. And he's going to tell everybody. And it's, that's it.
Right.
I'm in Trinidad this year. So Roy Cape, I don't need you guys. You know, boy, that didn't happen.
It didn't work out
that way. You know, so I found that in December. I wasn't getting the calls and bookings. So mm-hmm. I was like, so, juice. what y'all doing, man? Y'all still? He said, nah, man, we have somebody else. And like maybe close to Christmas, Juice called me and he was like, hey, we might need you back because the person not really catching on as fast as you would have. So I went, I bought more ticket, went down to Trinidad, and they changed their mind. Mm. So I had to sit down. And this was the year Blacks had Lego. So the band had just sparking. Oh. So I'm down there and I started to feel like the arrogance and me being so outspoken and pushy and stuff like that really hindered something that could have helped me. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, you know, when they say it shrink you, like it make you feel small. Like yeah. I went into a small box and I decided to myself that, you know what, I'm just going to humble myself and I'm just going to keep to my corner. I'm not going to disrespect nobody. So that is where I went. So I didn't talk about the fights that I used to get and I didn't talk about, you know, what might happen in Antigua or what might happen in Trinidad or, you know, what whoever might like me. I stayed very quiet. And eventually that quiet, me staying quiet like that is what hurted me.
Yeah.
And, you know, so because it left people to assume. And of course, you know, somebody might watch Dr. J and be like, boy, Dr. J have a beard. I don't like Dr. J, you know. Why you don't like Dr. J? Because he has a beard. Mm-hmm. You know, and people started to look at me that way. And I didn't even realize it. So when Vagabond and Professional and things started to spark, yes, I was moving around, but I was still quiet. You know, so they weren't understanding Drew. And it was because I felt like if I had thrown it out, it might have been thrown out the wrong way.
Okay.
But sometimes you just had to throw it out and let it sit where it's at.
Yeah, yeah. Everything happened for a reason, man. And having had the opportunity, going back to Antigua, just to wrap up, I know I would see certain things, as you had mentioned, with Superman. Mm-hmm. And I saw a crowd, like I said, it was probably one of the biggest rainstorms I've ever been yeah. in the middle of, right? And the entire crowd was singing Break Up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
the Break Up tune. And I thought, nah, boy, this tune, because everybody, yeah. it could resonate. Right. Similar to other songs like Farmer Nappy's Hooking Me, yeah. you know, where everybody has gone through something like that.
Right.
You pack up my clothes and you could sing yeah, that. Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. With that Break Up tune, I felt like, nah, boy, people are going to sing this.
Exactly.
And it didn't catch.
Right.
So, with something like that, I mean, I shouldn't say that. It didn't catch for Trinidad Carnival, which seems to be the jump off for a lot of other places. But it caught in other territories.
Right. What I will say is, I don't think that it was on its way to becoming something in Trinidad, but there was a narrative that was created. A narrative that was created is that the song was written for Patrice. Mm-hmm. And after that narrative was created, the masses said, well, that's messed up. She just had a baby. She just had your daughter. So why would you even put a song out like that for her? Mm. And that is where it took a left turn for me that season. And that's when I even went further back in the shell because I'm like, yo, if I even go out and say anything about this, it's going to make it more messy. So let me just stay quiet. And it left people to do exactly what I didn't want them to do anyway, which is assume further. So that one was real, real ticklish because, you know, it wasn't for Patsy. It wasn't for her. It was just because the year before, Orlando Octave had a song called Single. And he said, plenty of girl of man acting like they're single. Mm-hmm. And I thought a gate had opened for us to do songs other than jump up and jam and wave. And
right.
So I went in that route because I thought finally somebody kicked the door open. Let me run through the door. Boy, they stopped me. Mm-mm. Patrice is like,
right.
You know?
Right.
And then shortly after that, Teddy just released a song singing the same thing. Was it Kita?
Yeah, Leave. Yeah,
Leave. Nappy, do it shortly after. And I feel like I was just judged timing. Extremely hard with that.
Yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying. It's timing. And I think you're right. I didn't even look at it from that angle of, you know, she just had, you know, your daughter and it could have looked
right.
like that. And then in Trinidad, they may look at you as right. you're that outsider who has, even though you were raised in Trinidad,
right.
who has now come in their eyes, soiled their princess. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. And now you're going to come and sing and try to diss the Gil. And yeah. So I didn't even look at it from that vantage point, which, I mean, in Antigua, it didn't carry any of that.
Exactly. And that's why I didn't think about it that way when I went into Trinidad. And what makes it worse, and this is something I don't really talk about or tell anybody, and because here's Jay, you know, we're doing a little podcast, right. Make it a little spicy. When the song was finished recording, I called Patrice. I said, Patrice, I'm almost sure people are going to think this song is about you. So I'm going to send you the song. I want you to take a listen to it. And I want you to understand that the song is not for you. It has nothing to do with you. It has any, look, there's no shade, peacock, nothing, right? So she knew. She understood. At that point in time, I had fell in a dark place because at that point in time, I was just like, yo, why is everybody attacking me? Like, if you go and read some of the comments, you'll see, like, it's real rough.
Yeah.
You understand? But I was like, well, everybody's attacking me, but why is nobody standing up and defending the situation either? But just like me, she's one of those reserved people where she doesn't want to throw, you know, gasoline in the fire, right, and make it worse. So it took me a little while to understand that. But I, at that point in time, I was in a real dark place, man. I was just like, man, I just went from being a nice, humble guy to just asshole.
Right. Yeah, man. And there was almost a similar connotation with the want rhythm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
when you came out with the It Takes Two and she had a song on the same rhythm, some people could have played
that
of each other.
But you see, that, and I could say that now, that was intentional. We sat down and said, you know what, let's try and stir up some drama, whatever the case may be.
Okay, so to have an answer back.
You understand? And so we put that out there. But I wasn't prepared for that breakup song at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, trying to get on a lighter note. Yeah, boy. Catch me there, boy. On a lighter note, Raptors.
Yes. Congrats.
Thank
congrats,
you.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know you're accustomed to jumping, but you're jumping from bandwagon to bandwagon.
No.
Could you just go on record now as to who your team is, so I know for future?
I'm on the LeBroners.
Okay, you're on the LeBroners. So yeah, wherever he is,
I'm
there's,
there.
There's quite a bit of LeBroners out there. Yeah. There's a lot of LeBroners. So right now, Lakers.
Yeah, but you know, I will give him credit. You know, I believe that if he had not got injured, they would have been in a better place. I'm not saying they would have made it to the finals, but I feel they would have been in a better place. And I just, you know, maybe it's just like everything, time to change, time to sit back and watch what's changing and develop and become somebody to be part of that change or get left out.
Yeah, and I feel too, it's time and place. I think when he was in the East, he was like the boogeyman of, you know what I mean? So everybody was afraid. He could take a team that ended up in the lottery, have pretty much the exact same, and take them to the finals, right? Get swept, but still, he took them to that point. But this year, I feel like Magic and everybody else in the Lakers organization just kind of felt like, we could put whoever is LeBron.
We got it.
And there comes a certain time where, as you said, you have to humble yourself.
Yeah.
You know, yes, you're King LeBron, but relax a little bit and now really get the proper pieces.
Right.
Because it's a different beast.
Oh, yeah. And like, you have teams like, I don't know if Kawhi will stay here, mm-hmm. But you have teams like Raptors now. I mean, look at how one piece changed the whole demographic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the demographic, the whole.
No, yeah, the whole team and the chemistry and everything. Yeah.
Giannis.
Yeah.
Giannis is a monster.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel even if he had stayed in the East this year, he would have had some serious competition. Butler moving over to the 76ers and different things like that. But we'll see how it goes next year. Maybe we'll get some AD and a Kyrie and one other person. And
wishful thinking. Keep dreaming.
Kyrie needs to go back to LeBron.
You feel so?
Batman needs his Robin. Robin needs his Batman. He needs to go back, man. Yeah. Look at what he destroyed himself this season.
He did. I don't know, boy. That, because the Celtics had the talent. They had the potential.
And they did way better without him.
Yeah, it's crazy, eh? All right, so what's next for Ricardo Drew?
Well, of course, Antigua's Carnival is on its way. So we have Antigua's Carnival coming up. So, of course, those who are not coming to Caravana.
Because mm-hmm. it's the same dates, right?
It's the same time, you okay. know, and you're in the Caribbean. You don't have a visa. You know, come over to Antigua and check it out. We have Drew's Day on the 30th of July, which is the Tuesday.
Okay.
We have ID Land, which is my children's concert that's coming up on the 6th of July, and all my proceeds go to charity for that.
Nice.
What else? We have music coming out. We have the documentaries coming out now based on a Drew story. And we also have the album, which is also called Based on a True Story. So that will be coming out in July as well.
So. Okay, so in time for Antigua Carnival.
Correct.
Nice. Well, thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, man. Soca Therapy Sessions. It was fun.
Definitely appreciate it. We're going to catch up again.
Yeah, I'm not telling anybody else these stories.
All right. Good. Thanks, man.